Joined by Jared Clinton from the Hockey News. Jared, how you doing?
Not too bad of yourself.
Doing quite well. You wrote an interesting article on bounce back players, right? And I was surprised you didn't actually have Thomas Vanek at number one, but you did have him in the article. Mike Smith, I know you had number one. Matt Cassin, when we asked him earlier, that's who he agreed with as number one. I do want to get your thoughts on your number two player, Alex Semin. And into a team that desperately needs scoring, a guy who, the first year in Carolina was a point of game player, has proven he's got NHL skill, has also proven that he can disappear for long stretches. What makes you think he will reignite his offense in Montreal?
I think now there's just a whole lot less pressure on him. I think when you see him saddled with a $7 million contract, everyone's expecting him to be the 40-goal scorer he was in Washington when he had all those tools around him. But now he's making $1 million. He'll be able to slot up and down the lineup. He'll fit perfectly on that power play in Montreal. And he really doesn't have the same pressure anymore. He was dealing with a nagging wrist injury last season as well, and hopefully that's cleared up. And with the natural ability he has, he should be a fit in Montreal. And I just think there's certain talents he has that you can't take away from him. His shot and his skating ability are still there. And if he can find the right fit or the right line mate, he's an easy 10, 20, maybe even 30-goal scorer again.
Well, yeah, 30 would be unreal for the Habs. They desperately need some offense at the top end. Another guy, funny enough, who was in Carolina as well, struggling, Jeff Skinner, only 23 years of age. How much do you think the concussions have played a part in his kind of slow downgrading in offense the last few years?
I'm sure it's making him a bit hesitant, too. Being so young and dealing with concussions, he's probably seen guys who have had their careers altered. He's probably a little bit hesitant going in the corners. He's not going to win as many puck battles anymore. He's not the biggest guy either. It's not like he's Lindros with two concussions. He's Jeff Skinner, who's on the cusp of 5'8", probably, and not 250 pounds. He's a smaller guy, so he's probably a little bit hesitant. I don't want to say he's scared, but he wants to be able to produce from the outside, and that's how he's going to have to produce from now, and he's just got to figure it out. I think he's just adjusting his game now. And he'll probably pick up a good season here or there. He might need a change of scenery, but I think he's still got it in him. He just needs to adjust to what's probably going to have to be a new style of play for him.
Do you think Vanek can bounce back?
I do think Thomas Vanek can bounce back. I don't know if he's ever going to be the number one go-to guy on a team ever again. I don't think he's going to be what he was in Buffalo, but I don't think he's going to be the guy who's held goalless through an entire postseason again. And even in the playoffs with Minnesota, he had his chances. I think there's one save that sticks out in my mind, a breakaway that he had in the Chicago series. Given that breakaway 10 times, he scores at 8. It's just one of those things where he was snake bitten during the postseason. And that just compounds everything. Everyone looks at him and thinks, oh, well, that's a guy who doesn't have it anymore. He still has it. He can still produce. It's just learning, like Skinner almost, it's learning how to play a different role at this stage of his career.
Jared Clinton joined us from the Hockey News. Interesting, two of your top five were goaltenders, Mike Smith and Carey Lehtinen. Lehtinen's going to have to battle, though, now with Antti Niemi, and so maybe his bounce back happens just because he'll be playing fewer games.
That's exactly it. I think his workload has probably been a lot. He probably wants someone in there who can push him. I mean, I'm sure he's not happy that the team went out and picked up Antti Niemi, someone who could take away a lot of his starts. But you've also seen tons of situations over the years where a second goaltender in the fray, like in Vancouver when there was Luongo and Schneider, a second goaltender in the fray can sometimes make both goaltenders excel, and that's probably what Jim Nill's after, and that's probably Jim Nill's hope with Carey Lehtinen. If he has a lesser workload, maybe something like what he had in Atlanta early in his career, maybe he puts up the numbers that everyone expects him to put up.
Oiler fans will wonder, and I'm not sure how much you looked into it, but Nikita Nikitin specifically in Edmonton, their blue line last year obviously was not very good team defense. When you look at a player like that, do you think he can even be like a solid third-pairing defenseman again?
I'm sure he could be a decent third-pairing defenseman. He's probably not going to be – he's a stopgap. That's what he is in Edmonton now. They need him to be serviceable at best for the next little while until they can bring up the prospects. And that's pretty much all they probably want him to be. He was on the cusp and being rumored to be a potential buyout candidate. That Edmonton didn't pull the trigger on that is a little bit surprising, but that's probably just because they want him there as some security, because you can see, you saw in Chicago in the playoffs last season how important defensemen can be to a team, and how important or how devastating it can be when a team loses someone out of their top six defensemen.
A few other stories around the National Hockey League. The Patrick Kane one's not really worth discussing because now it's a police investigation, so no point speculating on what they're going to uncover. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. But free agency continues to be surprising. We saw Jarrett Stoll get a one-year contract with the New York Rangers yesterday. Everybody wondering about Cody Franson. Do you see a situation where players are going to, you know, get contracts at camp, or could we see five or six veterans have to go to training camp just on tryout basis in the hopes of earning contracts?
I think that's exactly what we're going to see, and I think you're seeing it right now with a guy like Brad Boyes, who everyone's kind of pointing to as this guy can still be a 20-goal scorer. He was a 20-goal scorer not 2 years ago. He's got the offensive talent, but somehow he's still without a contract. The buyout of Boyes came as a major surprise, really. No one expected it. And now he's waiting for a contract. And that could be the same for a lot of other guys. A guy like Marek Zablicki is still out there, and he caught fire with Detroit at the end of the year. Sure, he's relatively old. He's 39, but he can still produce. And that's a guy that you probably want to have as a depth defenseman. And if he wants to continue his career in the NHL, in all likelihood, he's going to have to do it on a tryout contract and earn a spot in training camp.
If you were Cody Franson, who I think probably, as far as the defenseman go, is one of the more speculative, or people are wondering where he's going to go, and you have to take a tryout offer as opposed to just get a contract, where do you go?
I think he goes where everyone's expecting he goes. I think he would go to Boston. With Dougie Hamilton gone, there's a need to fill in Boston, and there's a need for the kind of player that Franson can be. I think he's young enough that there's serious potential for him to be in Boston for a long time, and I think Boston wants him bad enough that's the most obvious fit for him.
Yeah, it definitely seems the most obvious fit after the most unobvious move of the offseason. The other article you had recently was the oldest players in the league, Jaromir Jagr. That one's no surprise. Patrick Eliash, the second oldest currently in the league. Gonchar was 40 last year, but doesn't have a contract right now. What's interesting is like Shane Doan, Zdeno Chara, Jaromir, and Jerome Iginla, all 38 years of age. And guys who, you know, like Jerome Iginla just doesn't seem like he's 38, but definitely nearing the end of his career.
Yeah, that was a kind of shocking one. I remember going through that and I was thinking, there's no way that this guy who is still a prominent star in the NHL is 38. I had to double check a few times, but he's one of those players who it seems like his career is almost evergreen. You forget sometimes that he's in Colorado, but he had a phenomenal year last mm-hmm. year. And he it seems like, you know, he's got a 3-year deal. There's 2 years remaining. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, you know, could he play when he's 41? Because right now it seems to me like he could probably keep playing when he's 41.
Yeah, he is. He's in such good shape, and he might have had the most quiet 29-goal season in the NHL last year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think Zdeno Chara injury slowed him down or age slowed him down?
I think it was a combination of both, but I'd probably lean towards the side of injury. What's the old adage, right? You can't teach size. No one's going to take that away from him. And you saw it in the Chicago series in that final, that when the speed game got to him, it affected his game a little bit. But he's still a sturdy defenseman, and he still contributed 20 points last year. He's not going to do the 40 points, the 17 goals anymore. He's not going to be, you know, your typical, prototypical all-star defenseman, but he'll still be about as steady as a 38-year-old defenseman could be. And I think the opportunity for Boston to trade him and get a lot back has really passed. So I don't really think there's much point in dealing him, because you're not going to get the value back for him you may have a couple of years ago.
And one last one for you. Which team, and like, because to me, when I say Buffalo and Edmonton, I kind of exclude them because they were at the bottom. Of course, they're going to improve. Right. They really don't have anywhere to go. But which competitive team do you think improved themselves the most in the offseason?
Oh, I would honestly say maybe Columbus did, not through making a whole lot of moves. Columbus pretty much just added Brandon Saad, and that was enough, really. They've got a number of prospects coming up. They're going to compete in that division. It's going to be a very, very strong division, and it's going to be one that Columbus can compete in, and a lot of people wouldn't have expected them to do that. They were riddled by injuries last season, which really held them back. And as soon as they get everyone healthy and on the ice again, I think that's a team that everyone should kind of keep an eye on.
We appreciate the rundown. Jared, have a good rest of the offseason.
You too. Thank you very much.